You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, Boston Red Sox. Matt Wehmeyer alongside Jeff Nelson, and we are joined on the phone right now by Ian Brown, MLB.com Red Sox reporter. Ian, thanks very much for joining us. And Ian, no team has been on a bigger roller coaster the past couple seasons than the Boston Red Sox, trying to go worst to first again. 71-91 last year in a disappointing world title defense. What is the overall attitude and vibe right now in Red Sox spring training?
Yeah, there's a really fresh vibe down here. I mean, nobody's even talking about last year, to tell you the truth. The only time anybody mentions it when somebody brings it up, because there's just, you know, there's a new environment here where you got Pablo Sandoval at third base and you got Hanley Ramirez in left field. They have hopefully Mookie Betts probably starting the season in center field. Shane Victorino's healthy again. Dustin Pedroia is back healthy again. He got a bunch of new pitchers. So, yeah, just a really fresh environment. So if you can be coming off the last place finish, it's probably the best way to do it, just to have kind of a new cast in here to start up again.
Well, Ian, the toughest part, I think, for John Farrell is, you know, you have 5,000 outfielders coming into camp, and every single one of them probably could start in the big leagues. You know, with Victorino, you just mentioned Betts. You have Nava also and Jackie Bradley Jr. Where do they go? Alan Craig that you got in a trade. Now Ramirez is going to go play left field. Obviously, it's a great, you know, great problem to have if you're John Farrell, but where do they go as far as their outfield lineup?
Yeah, Jeff, I think they're just trying to get through the spring healthy and then evaluate from here. I remember, I think it was 2012 when the Red Sox had 8 or 9 outfielders on the disabled list at the same time, and you had Scott Podsednik coming out of retirement, and you had all kinds of crazy things happening that year. You say they could fill spots. So I think they figure the more outfield depth they have, the better. But, you know, I think right now it projects as, you know, Hanley and left and Mookie Betts probably in center, and Shane Victorino in right if he makes it through camp healthy. And then you have to figure out, you know, what you're going to do with Ruzne Castillo, who still has minor league options, but you did just sign him to a $72 million deal. You have Alan Craig, who's been a pretty good hitter during his career, and Daniel Nava, who's also a pretty good on-base guy. So they're just going to make sure everybody's healthy, and then maybe you make a trade or you send somebody down to the minors you don't necessarily want to send down. But better to have too much depth in the outfield than not enough.
Ian, I want to get your take on it. Hanley Ramirez, of course, as we mentioned, he's transitioning to left field for the first time in his career. Yes, Fenway's left field is the smallest in baseball, but it might also be the most challenging with the presence of the 37-foot green wall out there. Given all that, how has the transition gone for Hanley Ramirez, and do you think he's going to make a smooth transition after so many years playing shortstop?
Yeah, I think Hanley, like anybody who's making a position switch, it's going to take him a little bit to get used to all the nuances of the outfield. Certainly not going to be for a lack of hard work. He's been out in left field with Coach Arnie Baylor really every day since the middle of February. He came to camp a week or two early to work on his defense. As we're talking here now, he still hasn't taken a ball off the bat in a game. So until that happens, you know, then we start to get a better taste of how Hanley will handle that transition. I mean, I think arm strength will be a big issue at first. Just, you know, he's played the infield his whole career. It's a much different throw from the outfield. I think catching the ball, I think that he'll do pretty well at that just because he's such a good natural athlete. But like I said, it might take a while. But Fenway, I think, it's actually not as much ground to cover. So that's the thing he does have going for him.
Ian, they signed Sandoval in the winter. What kind of – he's a character. The panda's back in Boston. And, you know, I think he's a great guy, probably a great guy in that clubhouse. What's it been like to have him in camp?
Yeah, really, Pablo Sandoval has fit right into this team and just has kind of an infectious personality. He's always smiling, and he's one of those guys, you know, he was here for a week and it felt like he had been here for a year. You know, he just kind of, he's not shy at all, integrates himself right into a clubhouse. People like talking to him. He has a good way about him, and he works very hard. So I think that Sandoval's fit right in so far, and now people just hope that you know, he produces.
And Ian, to that end, we saw a picture a couple of weeks ago of the panda sporting what was not exactly a six-pack. Social media blew up, but, you know, is that just something that blew over in Red Sox camp? Are they concerned at all about the kind of shape that Pablo's in?
No, they're not. He's in the same shape he was in when they signed him. He had a good offseason. It wasn't the most flattering picture, to be sure, but I think it was one of those pictures that actually looked worse than it was, just the way he was sort of posing there, you know, kind of slouching back. But no, there's no story there. Sandoval is exactly what the Red Sox expected. He's never been a guy who's going to win the Physically Fit Player of the Year award. He's just got one of those big bodies. But, you know, he has told people they should come watch him work out because he takes a lot of pride in how hard he works to get in shape for a baseball season. Just, like I said, he's a big guy.
Well, Xander Bogaerts has been given that shortstop job. You know, it's got to be tough. I mean, Ramirez, yes, he's going out to left field. Has the Red Sox, John Farrell, gone to Bogaerts to say, hey, don't worry, we're not going to make that transition. We're not moving Ramirez back in the infield. This is your job. You're going to have it for the whole year. And how's he looked?
Yeah, I think Xander Bogaerts absolutely knows that shortstop is his job, and he looks great. He you know, he really had a good winter where he worked at one of the API facilities, and his first step quickness has improved to the point where everybody in camp has noticed it. He's a little leaner. He's just moving around better. He's just, I was talking to one of the infield coaches, Brian Butterfield, who spends a lot of time with him, and Brian was talking about how much more confident he looks just in the infield drills. He knows what he's doing, where last year he might have been a step slow on some of these things as he was learning them. So no controversy at all as far as shortstop goes. Xander Bogaerts just very much looks at ease right now, and where last year I think the spotlight was on him, and maybe there's a little too much pressure on him at this time last year, but he looks really confident and ready to have a good year.
Ian, give me your take on Mike Napoli. He had, I believe, sleep apnea surgery in the offseason. He commented how badly it affected him throughout the course of last season. Does he just look different to you and more at ease, more relaxed now?
Yeah, you know, the sleep apnea thing was one thing that bothered Mike a little bit. I think even more than that was he had a really bad finger dislocation that he suffered in, like, the second week of last season. And that really hampered him the whole year. He tried to play through it because that's what Mike Napoli does. That's kind of what he's about. But he really wasn't right. He had a lot of injuries last year in a lot of different ways. And now Mike has come into camp healthy. Thank you. And he's come in looking much, much healthier this year. So I think he's in position to have a good year.
Well, Ian, the Red Sox are their starting rotation. They were linked to Scherzer. They're still linked for possible trades with Cole Hamels of the Phillies. How does that stand? Tell us a little bit about the rotation. They did add they do have a solid five if they stay healthy. And maybe a little bit about Clay Buchholz, how his progression's been. How's he looked in camp?
Yeah, Buchholz looks good. He came off a healthy offseason. He didn't have anything bothering him at the end of last year. He just needs to go out and pitch better than he did last year. But, the rotation, I think some of these guys have a chip on their shoulder because they're having somebody mention to them every day how there's no ace on the staff. aces aren't always anointed. Sometimes they pitch their way into that role. I mean, who among us was calling Kluber an ace this time last year? Sometimes those guys, you know, they become aces because of how well they pitch. And I think the Red Sox have some guys in this rotation. Buchholz, one of them. Rick Porcello, another one. Justin Masterson has pitched opening day before in his career. Same goes for Wade Miley. I think they're pretty confident. And Joe Kelly is a guy who has really good stuff, too, and hasn't quite put it all together yet in his career. So I think the Red Sox feel that they have the makings of a pretty good rotation. They feel like they're going to feel pretty good about the guys they send out there every day.
Ian, I want to get your take on the status of the Red Sox bullpen. They lost Andrew Miller, who was so good for them the last couple of years. Also lost Burke Badenhop, who had one of those sneaky good seasons in 2014, his only one in Boston. And then Koji Uehara had some late-season struggles last year. Is the bullpen an issue of concern for the Red Sox, or do you think it's a strong point?
Yeah, the bullpen, they have some pretty good depth. They're going to need a guy like Alexei Gondo, who kind of a quiet signing, but he has put up some really good numbers in his career. Before getting hurt last year, not pitching very well. Junichi Tozawa, pretty good righty setup guy the last few years. Koji is healthy again and had a really good winter. I think he was a little worn down by the whole World Series run last year. And I think, like you said, he did hit a wall late in the season. But, yeah, you're absolutely right about the lack of a lefty with Andrew Miller. He was just such a force in that bullpen last year until really the last couple of years before he got traded. And now Breslow is their lead lefty. So I think you're hoping that some of your righties can almost act as lefty setup man and get the lefties out. So I think they might do it in some more non-traditional ways, but they feel they have enough good relievers out there to have a good bullpen. But, the bullpen is always an uncertainty for any team going through a season.
Well, our thanks to Ian Brown, MLB.com Red Sox reporter. For Jeff Nelson, I'm Matt Waymire. Thanking you for joining us for MLB.com Extras Boston Red Sox.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.